Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
is the future of fulfillment bright? Easy question to answer for a friend of mine that is going to join us today. I won't say anything about Ryan because I'm going to sound a little bit biased, but this is what I love about this particular industry, logistics and supply chain. It has given me the opportunity not only to know many different countries, know many different people, but the most important is that I always acquire friends, colleagues, I mean that, oh man, you learn about them all the time. And for me, for my personal experience, I mean, I enjoy interacting with multiple different people from all over the place, all around the world. This particular case, I met Ryan in one of those shows, the industry shows, and man, it's someone that definitely, I would like to say that he's my friend, and not only a colleague, right? And I have not only enjoyed the relationship, but also I have learned a lot. And he's a very professional. He's a great human being. Now, I said that I won't say anything about Ryan, and it seems to be that I keep going. But anyway, we are going to move along. Good morning. This is Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. I mean, it's a very good day. We are going to be talking about technology. It's something that I feel passionate about. More importantly, we are going to be just reviewing the specifics about robotics. And we are going to have an expert on that. So we don't have anything to worry about. So in the meantime, I'm going to invite Benita from Canada. And we are going to have a coffee with my co-host and their friend. Benita, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I cannot complain. Life is absolutely great. And let's have a coffee.
Thanks for inviting me.
How's everything on that side of the world?
It's summer and it's stampede season.
Okay.
So it's really nice out. I have nothing to complain about. I'm really excited to meet our guest today.
All right. Yes. So good.
Say so many nice things about him. I can't wait.
Yeah. So let's invite Ryan right now.
Hi, Jose. Hi, Benita. How are you?
Really good. Thanks for coming on the show, Ryan.
Now life is perfect because you're here.
Well, I'll do the same thing. Cheers to both of you, and thank you again for having me on the show today.
Yeah. So, without any question, I mean, we are gonna exchange that coffee pot.
I'm gonna need one of those mugs, Jose, after doing the show.
It is going to be in its way, for sure.
Great. All right. I'm gonna hold you to it.
So, how's everything? I mean, where are you joining from, Ryan?
I am joining from Chicago, Illinois, just barely, Jose, as we spoke earlier this week, and I had some travel challenges over the 4th, but again, joining from Chicago, Illinois, and excited for the hour with both you and Benita.
Okay, so as everyone, I mean, I know about you, but you know everyone and not Benita maybe. So can you let us know about you and then we'll take it from that point on?
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be tough to live up to some of the comments Jose opened with. I've been fortunate enough to know and been working with Jose for almost 2 years, and I would echo what he said. We've built a nice friendship along with our work. So, but just for me, from a personal perspective, I've been in the industry about 8 years, starting in transportation with a company by the name of C.H. Robinson. Hi, Raquel. So I started there, did about 3 years of account management, and I supported Amazon Robotics. And that was really my first entry point into the world of warehouse automation. And I got to look underneath the curtain to see where the industry was going and where it was heading from really one of the leaders in the space today. I then joined Six River Systems as a customer success manager, made my way over into a account executive role, and then with you know, some consolidations in the market, and then really the opportunity that IM Robotics has today. I joined IM Robotics just about 6 weeks ago, so I'm a little green, but you know, I've been living and breathing in this space now for a long time, and I'm really excited to share some of the things that IM Robotics is doing, how we're doing things differently, and then talking about the market and some of the challenges that present themselves today for warehouse operators who are continually getting pushed up against consumer expectation changes and really just tough back offices in order to support all these things that we want the next day or in a couple hours. So excited to kind of dive into those topics today, Jose.
Thank you, Ryan. Now, so you are originally from Chicago, or you are from somewhere than Chicago?
No, I'm born and raised on the north side of Chicago. And I've spent majority of my life living in the Midwest, if not Chicago specifically. So Chicago Bears, Chicago Bulls, Chicago through and through on this side of the screen.
Okay. I don't have to ask you what is the baseball team that you follow, then.
Correct. I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. Can't help it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, sorry about that.
So I know.
That's probably the only thing that I can not agree with you.
I'll take it. I'll take that all day.
Now, how did you get to the industry? I know that you mentioned in C.S. Robinson, but how did you get to the industry? By accident? You prepared for that? I mean, you were excited about to join this particular industry, or how that happened?
I was excited to join supply chain. I'll tell you, Jose, when I was in college at Marquette University, shout out to Marquette, I wanted to go into an industry that I felt had extreme longevity, right? I didn't want to go into something that might have been more fickle or more of a fad. And I thought about supply chain and just how rooted it is in commerce and everything that we do as human beings today. And so I had applied to a handful of different organizations, and C.H. Robinson was the company that rose to the top for a lot of reasons for me. But that really kind of gave me my first glimpse into supply chain, and obviously from a different perspective, looking at transportation and focused on that side of the world. But I was probably about 3 or 4 weeks into my first job at C.H. Robinson, Jose, and I realized very quickly that this is where I wanted to spend my time in my career. I thought it was very worthwhile, and again, it's something that impacts everybody on a daily basis. And a lot of people, especially prior to COVID, didn't notice it or didn't feel it because all their stuff was getting to where it needed to be on time. But then COVID shined a spotlight right on to the supply chain and really made it a area where organizations can differentiate themselves, boost their profit margins, and really be more successful and cultivate growth by having an optimized supply chain. So the short answer is no, not right away, but then yes, after getting into it, I really enjoyed it, but it was a thoughtful maneuver out of college and into my career.
Okay. Probably this is not a fair question, but I am. Where is that name coming from?
You know, it's a good question. The IM Robotics brand has been around since 2012. With our former leadership. And so we started out as IM Robotics, and that's the brand that we're marching towards today. However, that leadership change has now been removed. They're actually on our board of advisors and they're still involved with the business. But I don't have the background as far as how they got to IM Robotics. And I would stay tuned, Jose, because we'll have more to share with you on that in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and I say just because I always pay attention to the name of the companies because it always have a very particular meaning. Now, in this particular case, besides the meaning, is because it has a lot of marketing opportunities, right? There's books, even there's one book that is called The Power of I Am, right? So definitely I Am, I mean, is very well, very well used in multiple different marketing engagements.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great opportunity. So let's start showing these, and that way we are going to have a kind of great view of what we are going to be talking today. So we are going to hope that everything is work well. Okay, it seems to be that it's not. But we are going to make it work.
There we go. We're making progress, Jose.
Yes. Well, technology is always challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
I personally love technology. Can you tell us, I mean, what we are watching here?
Yeah, I'd love to kind of narrate as we go through here. So what you can see is a series of associates with wearable devices on their wrist inducting orders onto one of our LumaBots. And as the video progresses, you're going to start to see a series of humans interacting with these robots and their wearable mobile devices, allowing them to streamline the order picking process. Jose, when I think about traditional fulfillment and distribution, it really is important to look at how people are solving this challenge today. And if you go into 9 out of 10 warehouses in the United States today, you're going to see a big sea of racking. Where users are typically prescribed to walk through with some type of RF device or even paper to go fulfill orders, right? Benita wants her shoes, Jose wants his hat, Ryan wants his shirt. And so they have to then go through these aisles and grab these items in accordance of the orders. And a lot of times when you have 3 orders, it might not be that difficult. When you have 3,000 or 30,000 in a day, it can become incredibly difficult. And so what that video shows is how we're orchestrating humans and robots in collaboration really to get the most optimized performance out of your humans to streamline SLAs, increase accuracy, and get orders and get product out the door in a more rapid and accurate manner than you were able to prior.
Okay. So, very important number that you were describing, right? I mean, I remember that I saw some statistics about this particular industry. And I don't know if you know this, I would assume that you know, in the global market, I mean, we are talking about, I mean, $2.3 billion in 2020. It was the total amount of, amount of potential, let's say, that is in this particular industry. So it is amazing how is this growing. The estimated number for 2026 is going to be almost close to the $10 billion, which is completely out of proportions, right? I mean, my wallet doesn't support that number yet.
My calculator is having trouble keeping up, Jose. And those numbers are, you know, really important when we look at the micro and macroeconomic trends of what's happening within the industry. An article that I like to refer back to is a article by the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicating really the gap in the labor market, right, that's driving a lot of the needs to execute on that valuation that you just gave, right? If we don't have the people in the right spaces to execute on these orders, then that market cap, that market value isn't going to be very meaningful. And so it's behooves us as supply chain operators and people in the space to find ways around those challenges such that we can hit that number and really exceed it. And the other thing that I think is important, Jose, I mentioned it briefly, but if you look at that back from pre-2020 and post-2020, the outlook is staggeringly different, right? And it's because of the impacts of COVID and the Black Swan event that we all went through.
Yeah, no, I mean, I personally love this particular industry, and not only the industry by itself, but also all the technology that is coming in the last 5 years, maybe, or even less than that. So I do enjoy seeing all these robots in the warehouses. I mean, it's like a little boy, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You know, Jose, and I've gotten to walk a couple floors with you and look at other automation and have these types of conversations. Benita, I'm curious from your perspective, what have you been seeing as far as, you know, Jose mentioned there's a lot of new players in the robotics space. What are you seeing as far as people entering or organizations entering the space that you really like? And what are some organizations or products entering the space that maybe aren't catching your eye or you're not seeing the value in?
Well, this is where you're going to catch me flat-footed. Jose is my tech guy. He's the one that knows what's coming up in the tech world for me. He's the one that informs me. So it's a better question directed at Jose.
Sure, I mean, sure. I'd love to hear Jose's perspective. And, you know, Jose, we got to walk Modex together. We got to spend a little bit of time at ProMat together. And Benita, I know Jose is the tech guy. I wanted to get you involved here. We were stealing the air.
Yeah, no, I would love to go on a tour and walk the aisles with Jose one day, if he'll have me.
I'm sure he would.
Yeah, you guys in trouble if I am the tech guy here. So you guys are in trouble. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
So let me continue with this.
Sure.
There you go.
I guess I do have one question while Jose figures that out. Like when we talk, are you aware of that West Coast Canada port situation where, you know, the U.S. avoided one strike, but there's actually a strike of the longshore workers up in Canada. And it's been said that it could have far-reaching impacts, like as far as Chicago. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that? And when they talk about automation, like I know that there's that fair wage question on the table, but when they talk about automation, what do they mean? Is this what they are talking about, Ryan?
It's a really interesting question, Benita, and I think so. First, to answer your question, I've heard about some of these delays that you mentioned off the West Coast. But when I think of, oh, we got the sound going here. Shout out to our marketing team, specifically Lindsay and Vanessa. Wonderful job on that video.
I love the classical music.
Oh yeah, it gets me excited.
I have to apologize because we are experiencing a delay. That's the reason why. I mean, it wasn't right on time, but go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
No, not a problem. But Benita, to answer your question, when we talk about automation in general, automation can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. It's more important to understand where are you on your automation journey. And I'll give you an example within the warehouse. For some of those organizations or some of those facilities that are using manual carts and paper, they might see a good bump by automating and getting away from paper and inserting RF guns. RF guns are a form of automation. Even paper is a form of automation outside of just using mental recall. Right. And then you kind of inch up. And after you go from RF picking, you get into this voice picking zone, right, where you can get automated audio guides to help you assist in your picking. And then you kind of move up the spectrum and you can keep going to what we call the person assisted or the person to goods, AMRs, which is what IM Robotics falls into. And then you get into those highly mechanized, caged systems that have very limited human interaction, such as an auto store or a Kiva-like system. So automation means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And I think it's more important to reflect and look at where you are or your organization or your processes are today to understand where are you on that automation journey and what would be a logical next step. Because I'll tell you, it's not going to be very easy for that paper picking organization to get right into a mechanized goods to person or auto store like system. But there might be a very sequential or next step that would make sense that they can start inching their way forward into that world. So I think that answered your question, Benita, but just wanted to make sure that I addressed. I think it's an important concept for people joining the call today to understand automation means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Right. Like, to some automation, always is like, makes them scared. Like, oh my gosh, a robot's going to take over my job. But it sounds like the definition of automation is wide.
It's exactly right, Benita. It's incredibly wide. And it, again, I think it's important. It means so many different things to so many different people. Sometimes rightfully scared off when they hear the word automation because it might include a 10-figure ticket associated to it. And then there's other forms of automation where you won't be in that same arena from a risk or a cost or a timeline perspective. So it's definitely a valid question and one that it's important for people listening and anybody considering automation to kind of take that reflective step backwards and say, where am I today? And mm-hmm. what would be the best or most logical step forward?
Personally, I'm for automation because, like, I just think about warehouse workers' backs and, like, limbs. Like, mm-hmm. our bodies aren't made for that type of wear and tear. So,
yeah, it's a really good point, Benita. The ergonomics behind how people are, again, traditionally solving or working in this environment has incredible stress levels on the body, right? And we think about some of these engineered standards for ergonomics within systems and how incredibly important it is. One stat that I like to jump to is a lot of people or some organizations have pickers in a warehouse walking 20 miles a day. And 20 miles, that's one heck of a day, right? And maybe if you're a tourist in another city, that might seem normal, but to get up and walk 20 miles day in and day out, just unencumbered without anything in your hands, could be perceived as strenuous and could also limit the people that you want to bring in to perform those tasks. And so by automating and creating tools that collaborate with your humans, get away from that scary, they're here to take my job. What a lot of these tools are here for is to make your job easier, right? Not replace you. And it goes back to that disparity of job openings that we talked about from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. There's roughly 50% of job openings that are not filled. And so how do you get more out of the people who are showing up? You enable them with tools that make them better, stronger, faster, more accurate, less strenuous, less walking, less lifting, things like that. And so the ergonomics piece of it is something that I love to talk about. And it's something that's incredibly important when you're looking at automation for your warehouse, for your environment, for your people, is how is this going to fit with my people and how is it going to make their life easier? How is it going to make their job easier?
We always like to ask a question at the beginning, right? And is, what is your business in a sentence? What is I am?
That's a great question, Jose. I Am Robotics is a collaborative mobile robotic provider that is enabling users to enjoy their time in a warehouse, make their life more productive and less strenuous, and provide higher satisfaction for their end user. And so non-typical in the way that we're approaching it with some of our differentiation on our asset and on our technology, but really we're here to make the lives of the operators and those end consumers easier with providing tools and processes that help them streamline what they were doing before we got in.
And I assuming that when you go to have a meeting with a potential client, I mean, this is a recurring question, right? I mean, what is the problem that you are going to be solving for me if I have multiple different warehouses or even one warehouse only? What is the problem that you are solving for me?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jose. And there's definitely a handful, but I would point to labor availability and productivity, right? And so if I have 10 associates that I need to come in every day and I'm the operations manager and I only had five show up, it puts me in a really difficult spot to still go out there and hit our service level agreements to our customers. And so what we're able to provide is a tool that enables people to be more productive, not have a linear relationship to labor and how much product you're getting out the door, such that we can now help organizations account for this attrition or people no showing. Or then when we have the full team in there, maybe we're able to finish the work in 6 hours instead of 8. What does it mean to get an extra 2 hours at home with your children? What does it mean to not have to work an extra 2 hours? And maybe there's people who would go the other way. They want overtime, and there's situations where that's important as well. But doing things easier in less time with less people to make the organization and the end consumer more happy. It's what it boils down to. And I think IAM Robotics has found a perfect sweet spot of how we address that compared to others in the market today.
And just following up to that, now this is the problem and one of the common questions. I mean, what exactly the company is going to be solving, right? Now, what is the main pushback that you find in everything related with when the offering is being presented, when all the beauty is being described and still there's some pushback? What is the situation there?
So I'd say there's a couple that come to play, Jose. The one I run into more often than not is timing. So when I think about timing and how AMR implementations go, you want it to be a main priority of the organization. And a lot of organizations are actually dealing with the replacement of their host system, whether that's an ERP system, a WMS, and things like that. So having the timing portion be right, because today with the internet and the amount of information that's at people's fingertips, there's so much research that's conducted before they get to talk to a Ryan Kitchee on the phone. And they've got some preconceived notions and understandings of what this will or will not do. So I think it's really important to have the timing be right, such that either you're either pre a new host system, either a WMS or an ERP, or just freshly after. Those are typically the constraints that we'll see organizations say, "Hey, this is something we want to do, but we have to finish this." And that's not necessarily the truth or the case behind it, right? We have the ability to integrate to any host system. We're agnostic in that sense. And so that would be one of the more common objections I come up is, "Hey, we've got this other really big priority that we're sinking time and resources into. We need to hold off for 3 or 6 months." It's exciting because rarely, Jose, do people come back and say, "We don't see this working. This doesn't have an application in our warehouse." It's always a timing thing.
I have used the technology myself in those particular demos. So if I can do it, anyone can do it, right?
I feel the same way.
it is amazing and it's very easy to follow.
Oh, Jose, I have a question for you. Tell us, like, which one was the most fun to play with, to demo?
Well, I mean, I remember when we were in probably Atlanta that I got the opportunity to be introduced to those robots. I mean, they do everything that supposed to be doing in a process flow, right? Which sometimes we don't have the perfect sequence in our minds, and then we tend to go to different places or then follow the instructions and follow the robot. But so you feel intimidated because he's telling you exactly what to do, and then if you tend to do something wrong, then he's going to correct you. So it's a shame, but it is what it is. I mean, that's the reason why technology plays a very important role, which is bringing the accuracy level to high levels, right?
Benita, I can jump in here. I saw a really interesting piece of unloading automation from a new player in the States, at least, or new to me. They have a Mugen has this automated arm that unloads trucks where they can completely cube out the trailer, which I thought was incredibly interesting and something that I hadn't seen at a show like that prior would be one that I had a lot of fun just learning and talking to people there.
Is the arm on a like a vehicle?
It's a stationary mounted arm, and that it has conveyor that feeds down, grabs the box and folds it back onto the conveyor. So it's not necessarily collaborative, but it is a very great piece of automation that I walked away with. I was glad that I saw.
And it's very impressive, right? Because basically loading a trailer or vice versa, of loading a trailer or a container, I mean, it can be done automation. I mean, with that brand, with that arm, basically is, I mean, you don't have to struggle with anything. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, how technology has been pushing everything forward in this particular business. Now, we talk about the global opportunity or the global market. I mean, it's almost $10 billion by 2026. Is the United States aligned with the developments in our countries? Or, and this is a loaded question, because what I have seen and what I have the opportunity is that overseas, in there's many countries where you see automation like a nothing. Every single warehouse, I mean, that you visit, I mean, for example, if you go to Shanghai, even if you go to Europe, I mean, you're going to find multiple different players that they have the warehouses. I mean, it's a pristine warehouse. I mean, automation is all over the place for every single process that you are doing. Here in the United States, I don't see that compatible. I don't know if I'm wrong, or what do you think that is at? Is there real answer here?
So, Jose, based on the articles that I've been reading in the marketplace, it does seem to be somewhat consistent from a global trend perspective. However, they're highlighting different arenas, if you will. And so I'll give you an example. Back to the pre-COVID, post-COVID, we look at the growth trajectory of e-commerce orders in general, people ordering directly to their door, right? Not picking up in store, nothing like that. And that growth is expected, the total addressable market behind e-commerce is expected to eclipse 10 billion by 2030, right? So we're talking about different timetables and slightly different applications to the market here, but it seems to be congruent with what you're seeing and everything that I've been tracking, specifically from a US perspective.
Yeah, and a number that I remember is that it's estimated that 7,000 warehouses here in the United States use automation. That's a low number, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but there's still thousands of warehouses out there that when you walk into have that manual static racking, and they're using some form of paper or RF gun or human resources to account for spikes in demand. So the opportunity both in the US and across the globe right now remains very, very large, in my opinion. And there's going to be a number of suitors that come in there to help service those organizations to help them reach their goals.
It would be right to assume that IM Robotics and Ryan in particular, I mean, they are very happy that the opportunity is huge, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jose, you nailed it.
Now, if you have to pick and choose, what is the something that make IM Robotics different from other service providers? What would be that?
Yeah, so based on my time and experience in the robotics space, Jose, I haven't seen a viable product go to market that treats humans and robots as one. So we'll go back to, if you look at, you know, for Locus, for example, right, they have a user interface that's on the robot. And what it does is it unintentionally requires the human to be with that robot all the time to get their information, to get their workflow instructions, to get product images, locations. And what we've done is incredibly intentional at IM Robotics. We've decoupled the robot from the interface. And what we've done is we've put that on the human, and now they're two independent agents of the same system. Right. So we'll get or understand someone's location based on their last pick. And then we can either have them stay with that robot for a couple more picks, or we'll say, hey, Ryan, go to aisle 6 where there's another LumaBot waiting for you. Again, we're removing user direction, and we're also allowing them to be as effective as if they were right next to the robot. Right. And then there's also some interesting applications as far as finger aisles or racetrack picking that become incredibly enticing, because no longer do you have to rely on the information that's on the asset, and you can get into more narrow places as just yourself with the information on your arm. So that'd be one thing I would highlight as a main takeaway. There's definitely more, but that's the one that bubbles to the top for me.
In my reading, I found that at least, I mean, this is the estimated number that they throw out. And when you're going to be doing these implementations and you're going to be adding automation to your warehouse, you're going to be able to save 50%. It's going to be a cost saving of 50%. Is that accurate?
You know, Jose, it's tough to put a blanket percentage on it. Everyone's organization, everyone's operation is very different. The problems that we solve, there might be two or three that are congruent across all these organizations. But then if you start to peel back the onion, you see it's very layered. It's very complex. And there's nothing that doesn't interrelate to something else within that business, right? So if we increase your picking productivity, well, that's great. We need to find a way to supplement that on the back end for your put away or your replenishment process. All these things are interconnected and so different. So I wouldn't be able to put a blanket statement on that, unfortunately, from a percentage basis.
And yeah, that's very smart answer. No question about it.
But I'm not going to get myself into too much trouble here today, Jose.
Yeah, no. I mean, the scope of work, I mean, is different for every single company, right? I mean, every single client has different and specific needs. Therefore, I mean, the costs associated with those are different. Good. Benita, you brought a point very important about, I mean, the labor, right? I mean, because it's very common to find that when we are talking about automation, people push back. They say, no, I'm going to lose my job, right? Tell us about that more. Is that a very right statement that you find on when you are dealing with your potential clients? Or is something, I mean, a regular conversation that you have?
I don't really have conversations around this. I mean, but my job is very manual still, right? But I would love to either mentor or teach a robot how to speak customese and like speak to my clients and or have train robots. Like, that would be awesome. I started very early, I guess, in one of my first jobs in customs compliance, and I helped the IT team build global trade systems into an ERP system. So that was my very early on taste of it, of what Ryan is kind of talking about. Like, he's way ahead of us, but if I had the opportunity to continue to do that, I think I would do it that way. I mean, doing it the manual way is, you know, saying the same things over and over again. But once you have it in a module inside your ERP, basically that creates the controls that you need in customs compliance. And your work is a lot easier because you're not continually having the same conversations with the same departments about the same things. I mean, even though it's fun, right? Like, I love talking to people, but to be more efficient, I think it's necessary.
So basically you are saying something like a GTP for custom compliance.
A Luma bot, that would be great.
Maybe that'll be our next venture. Customs compliance and international trade.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of innovation, I mean, what is the IAM approach to innovation, right?
It's a great question, Jose. I think we have a couple advantages because we're not the first to market with AMR technology. Our leadership team was incredibly thoughtful in the way that we've been working on this product over the last 2 years by having conversations with some of the largest customers in the space who would be viable candidates to work with our technology. The way we've built innovation really starts with our Pixis technology. So that is the technology that's orchestrating the humans and the robots. And we're using a myriad of variables to make sure that we're putting the right robots with the right humans at the right time for the right order. But that's where the secret sauce is. And that's constantly being worked on by our team of engineers. Second to that is coming into the market with a completely different approach. It would have been very easy for us to come in and try and do a a locust-like picking approach. And what we've done is kind of slice the bread right down the middle, and we've found the best of both worlds, and that's the feedback that we're getting. So we've done a good job innovating just by the way that we created the initial product. We're constantly putting time and effort into our Pixis technology to allow people to get greater optimization, have more levers to turn, and ultimately just increase their performance as much as possible. So really it's twofold. It's just the way that we went to market and then the way that we're continually bleeding into our Pixis technology that's orchestrating everything behind the scenes.
Again, I mean, I always got all these unfair questions, but let me try. Let's assume that I am a warehouse worker, right? And I've been in this particular industry for 20 years, and I go every single morning and start picking from boxes, and moving pushing a car, collecting everything, bringing to a station. And then Ryan come to my company, I start promoting IAM Robotics. And my first question is, oh my God, I'm gonna be out of job.
Yeah, so
how you are going to convince me that that's not the case?
Well, I think the first thing to address there, Jose, is the concept of implementing any AMR technology. There's a large element of change management. So if I were to show up one day and show your associate, hey, this is what you're going to be now using, there would be what we call that zone of resistance or hesitation from that user to say, well, this is different. No one told me about this. Is this something that is going to be replacing me? And when I think about it, Jose, it starts with when I work with organizations to implement these robots, the change management conversation starts at day one. How are we getting their feedback? How are we getting their input? How are we sure that this is something that is going to solve the problem? Oftentimes, getting feedback from those users who are doing it every day can be incredibly impactful. And so if I were to show up on day one of an implementation and it's the first time these users have seen or heard of this, it's probably going to be a tough hurdle to overcome. Not that it can't, but the change management starts in the diligence process from the leadership teams. And that's something we talk about a lot is we're fundamentally changing the way that you guys are servicing your clients. We need to make sure that we get ahead of this. So what I've seen in the past, so for one example of a client would be we set up a robot that had illuminated rainbow colors for a Christmas party before they were even implemented into their warehouse. So when the family and friends came for the Christmas party, they got to see and touch and feel and use the robot such that they began to become acclimated to it, were familiar with it. They weren't blindsided by it. And then you even create some excitement because a user who's been in the warehouse for 20 years and has been doing this might have, you know, maybe stuck in their ways and know how to do this very well, but that change management process starts early on and it can then cultivate excitement and turn into a much more positive outcome. And then you even alluded to, well, is this going to take my job? If you handle it the right way, it becomes very clear. This is a tool for you, not to replace you.
Excellent. So I'm okay now.
Your job is safe.
So AMRs, I mean, it's estimated again, I mean, the industry is going to spend $8 billion by 2026. Oh man, this is something that is not computing easily in my mind, right? So I tend to believe that from those 7,000 that actually are having some automation, I mean, these numbers are going to be doubled by 2026, maybe.
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing. And it goes back to the disparity in labor and people wanting to do the job. It goes back to also the rising costs. So now companies outside of not having the labor availability, their cost to bring people in are rising year over year. And so those two things come together at this perfect kind of point to say, if we don't do anything, we won't be here in 3 to 5 years. We won't be able to make change in 3 to 5 years. We're going to be kind of stuck in the mud. And so when we think about automation in general, Jose, in the warehouse, 4 years ago, it was a nice to have something. It was a huge differentiation for your organization to have some level of automation that you could say, hey, you know, big retailer, Nike, Adidas, Puma, come look at our warehouse. Look at this. Look what we can do for you. Now it's the other way around, where if you go into a warehouse and you see an absence of automation, you're kind of scratching your head wondering what's going on. Is everything okay? Where are they at in their business? Why haven't they done this yet? And you know, Jose, to your point, there's 7,000 warehouses today that have some level of automation. Goes back to that spectrum, right? Of is this voice picking? Is this an RF picking? Are they using AMRs? Do they have a goods to person cage? What type of automation is it? Because even within those 7,000 warehouses, you will see change, and you'll see people who will start inching away from what they're using today and moving up that automation spectrum to, again, continue to level up, differentiate, and satisfy their clients.
Yeah, you're the right person to answer this question. And it's the question that we start with, right? Is the future of fulfillment right?
I think absolutely. I don't know that there's a more exciting time to be in the warehouse fulfillment space than right now. Just with, and again, you know, I forget if it was Jose or Benita that brought this up. You saw so many different names at ProMat this past year. Going into MODEX, you'll see more, and you'll probably see some that aren't there. So the timing is incredibly exciting for all vendors and operators who are now getting these opportunities to look at this technology and say, is this technology going to provide a benefit to my organization? Because it's not a one size fits all, Jose. And you see that and feel that through conversations with the organizations that handle it correctly. But this is an organization, and Jose, I know how passionate you are about this. It's all about relationships. I love the partnership as a service that Rannin does and believes in, because in this industry, if you go to try and fit a square peg into a round hole, your tenure might be short-lived. And so it's more important about being client-centric and trying to solve problems on behalf of the organization that you're working with. And if you can do that, then it's exciting times. But yes, the future is incredibly bright.
Well, without any question, I mean, IM Robotics, it seems to be that is in the right path. What is that big project that you guys are pursuing in these particular times? What is that big thing that the company is pursuing in this space?
So, I guess, would you be able to clarify that question, Jose?
Yeah, I mean, for example, I mean, every single company has a specific goals or vision to accomplish. I mean, for 2023, 2024, what it would be that for IM Robotics?
So it's a good question. We, from a commercial perspective, Jose, we have a handful of pilots for this year, and then some commercial clients signed on for next year. If IM Robotics could get to a place where we have 300 plus assets in the field by the end of 2024, we'd be pretty excited about that. I think that's maybe a bit of a stretch goal, but something that we could absolutely hit. Again, just with all the consolidation and uncertainty that's been in the marketplace today. So that would be kind of just a commercial number that would be nice. That is a total Ryan Kitchy number. But again, being in the business and seeing kind of our trajectory and our momentum, that's where I'd be striving towards. But then other than that, I think, Jose, I've always kind of gone back to this concept of interleaving. And Benita, if you don't know, interleaving is when you have multiple tasks on the same asset. So you could be doing inbound and outbound functions. And so I'm excited when working with my product team just to show our course or our plan to get into that space or go into that arena where we can have one asset doing different kinds of picking, but also inbound and outbound tasks, and give you the ability to sweat the asset on multiple sides. It generates a better ROI, it gives you a much better business case, and it impacts the operation in a more holistic or systemic way,
That
right?
sounds amazing. I mean, yeah, that's what people can't do at that at this moment, right? And for those two processes, inbound and outbound, to be interwoven, wow. Yeah, that's a bright future.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Now, IM Robotics, I mean, I know that the main solution is for warehouses, right? Is there any opening door to have robotics in some other industries, like a household, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, we're starting to see robotics kind of pick up in different areas. Jose, I was at dinner just a couple of weeks ago where a collaborative mobile robot actually took me to my table to be seated. And so we're seeing applications all over the place. For IM Robotics specifically, we're very focused in the warehousing and distribution space today. However, if anybody's listening and feels that they might have an application, please track me down, get my contact information. I would love to have a conversation.
Vinita, maybe you can propose something like a
chair. Well, I asked the audience, what would you like your, I mean, it doesn't have to be a Luma bot. I just heard you say that. And so I knew it was one of like with the names of your assets. But if you could like, if you could program your own robot, Ryan, like what would that be? Mine would be like Rosie from the Jetsons. Like she would do my vacuuming and, you know, make my coffee in the morning. That would be awesome.
I love that, Benita. That is such a fun topic. I would want to automate my laundry folding process.
Oh,
I spend
yes.
too much time folding my laundry or just doing laundry in general. That would be my household application for
yes, they could
not necessarily the Lumabot,
colors
but
and the whites and yeah, fold exactly. them all up. Yeah.
Now,
Jose.
I don't know. At first, I thought about cooking, but I love cooking. So,
yeah. Yeah, you don't want that then.
My something that I enjoy a lot is cooking. So I don't want that it's going to be replaced by a robot. That's for sure. No. But maybe when I get older and I can open a jar, maybe
yeah.
that would be the idea. But maybe it become very useful.
I like that.
Yeah, but regular chores, I mean, it would be fine. It would be fine, definitely, that you're going to be able to sit and watch. before, I mean, we're going to run out of time. IoT technology, I mean, is something that has been included in multiple different things, right? Is IAM Robotics including any of these IoT technology to enhance the solution or not yet?
So we're using machine to machine communication and learning to optimize our path planning and things like that. However, unfortunately, Jose, I'm not an engineer and I'm not the right person to get into the details there. But if you're interested in when we have our next conversation, I'd be happy to pull someone in.
Great. Fair enough. I always got all these questions that come to my mind.
I get it. I wish I could answer it for you.
Yeah, especially when I don't take my medicine before the program, then forget it. No one is going to stop me, unfortunately. And today I was rushing, then therefore, I mean, I didn't take it. So I apologize for that.
No worries.
So what is the next show that you are going to go to, Ryan?
That's a good question. So we're already getting prepared for MODEX in Atlanta next year. That's going to be a marquee show for us and one that we're really excited to get onto the floor and showcase the capabilities and the benefits that the Lumabots and our Pixis technology can bring to light. That's the first one. And then I'll have to defer to Lindsay and Vanessa, our esteemed marketing team, to figure out what other shows we'll plan on taking advantage of this year. But time will tell, Jose, and I'll certainly keep you posted on what those are.
Yeah, this is probably an obvious question, but I mean, what is the value that you find in all these trade shows?
So the value in the trade shows, for me, it's what happens naturally and organically. It's the networking of people with like minds and like interests that are looking to solve a problem within their own business, but then they get the opportunity to meet the Jose Montoyas and the Benita Lees and the Ryan Kitchies and build that network to help attack or problem solve. So when I think about what's the most value to get out of the shows is you learn so much. You truly learn so much every single day. If you spend 4 hours a day at these shows, it is a whirlwind of new technology, new people, new methodologies, new processes, things like that. So it's the education piece, it's the network piece, and the people you walk away with having built a connection with. And then it's the understanding of what else is in the marketplace that can help benefit your business. And that's one of the reasons that we'll be at MODEX front and center, ready to show everybody about the Lumabot and all the different things we can do with our Pixis technology to help operations.
Excellent. Benita, you need to be in one of these demos that the company have, because it is completely amazing. I mean, you're going to have fun.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. This conversation has inspired me to find out more about, you know, LumaBot and what the applications are. Like, I think of oil and gas, I think of farming and agriculture. I think of all these things I want to see, but I want to see these LumaBots in action at a warehouse. So I know that, Jose, you're going to be able to show me someday.
Which is probably we are going to plan for the that show in Atlanta. That show, I like that show because it's where you're going to be able to see the latest technology in place for the warehouse and distribution industry, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, Modex and Promat, they do a wonderful job every year of displaying the both longstanding tenured automation companies, but also those people who are just kind of breaking into the space. So couldn't encourage that enough for anybody who's looking to sharpen their pencil on what warehouse or just supply chain automation is. Those are the two shows that would be the most advantageous to go to.
Now, I probably we haven't, or if we did, I mean, probably missed it. What is the main industry that is using robotics in these particular times?
The main industry within warehousing that uses robotics.
Right.
So this is going to come down to the third-party logistics providers and the retailers. So large retail organizations that have to try and compete with the Amazon effect, right, without actually putting their products on Amazon. So those larger entities, I think of the Nikes, the Pumas, the Adidases, you know, those brands that we see on a daily basis. But then alongside that, some of the larger 3PLs, right? So we think of, you know, DHL, GXO, all those larger names that people are very familiar with. Those are the top tier 1A addressable market or potential companies that would benefit from this type of technology.
I was reading a question, or if I remember correctly, what it would be the timeline? Let's say, for example, I mean, the technology is going to be deployed. What is the timeline for me as a regular employer that I've never been in contact with technology to get up to speed to start working with technology?
So with the LumaBot and our mobile interface, I would say it's going to take you less than 2 hours to get fully acclimated and be totally ramped. And so that is a conservative number. Because you have this device on you, it is similar to what you're used to with a cell phone, right? And a touchscreen, you get acclimated very quickly. It's very intuitive with images and guided instructions as far as what to do and where to go. So I would say 2 hours tops. That doesn't even have to be one-on-one training. It could be a 15-minute training session. Let that user go pick for another hour, but check all of their work to make sure that they're picking accurately. And then you can typically send them on their way at that time. They're fully ramped and picking at least 80% of what that expected rate would be.
That is amazing. And definitely I can attest to it because in those shows, when I have the demo, I was able to operate that, of course, very basic, right? But I mean, in a split second, I mean, you don't need to know anything basically, just to follow those instructions.
So, yeah.
Hey, it is completely amazing. I mean, just to learn more about the automation in these particular times. And of course, I mean, learn more about IAM Robotics. So Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. I know that you are being very busy traveling and everything. So we appreciate the time that you spent with us today. And thank you for sharing your insight. I mean, it's always very pleasant to learn from the industry from you.
Absolutely. Jose, thank you for having me on the show. I follow along. I've listened to a handful of coffee breaks. So Benita, although it's our first time meeting each other, I've been a fan for a long time. And I look forward, Jose, to continuing our conversations. Yes. And if there's any questions or anybody has anything that they're looking to learn more about IAM Robotics, you can reach me on LinkedIn at Ryan Kitchy. You can reach me at ryan.kitchy@iamrobotics.com, or you can go to our website, iamrobotics.com, to learn more about the LumaBot, our Pixis technology, or if you're just kicking the tires and trying to learn about warehouse automation, we'd be happy to have a call.
Excellent. We do appreciate, I mean, your time with us today.
Awesome. Jose, I'll be looking out for that coffee mug, okay?
Next week is going to be arriving, that's for sure.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It was
Thank
nice
you.
To meet you.
Really appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. I mean, just to have people from the industry that let us know what is happening and what is the right direction for that specific companies and products and services. How do you like it?
I loved that conversation. I want more like it. Yeah.
Well, we need to keep learning from Ryan. That's for sure. I mean, this is an ample subject. So it's very extensive subject that we need to learn more about that. I mean, because the adoption is probably the critical part. I mean, we don't have that as we should.
Oopsie.
Even Louis is in agreement with that, right? All right, Benita. Thank you for your time today, and I'm hoping that I'm going to see you next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, in another episode of Coffee Break Logistics and Supply Chain. Until then, we need to remember we are better together because we've been together. So, bye-bye.